I know him, he knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him.
I know him.
He knows me. Once I was a sinner, I had no peace within. Then Jesus knocked on my heart's door, and I invited him in. He saved my life completely and gave me victory. I know him.
I know him.
He knows me. I know him. He knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him.
I know him.
He knows me. When the book of life is open and the Lord looks down the road, there will be some there on that day who say, I don't know. When he calls my name on that day, he'll turn to me and say, I know him.
I know him.
He knows me. I know him. He knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him.
I know him.
He knows me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him.
I know him.
He knows me.
I know him. Ich kenne ihn nicht, gehe hin. But the Lord, many will say, I know you. But will the Lord say, do I know you? Have I seen you before? It's going to be interesting. For those who watch the news, everybody's afraid of World War III. You don't have to worry. Nothing's going to happen. God is in control. And I don't think World War III is around the corner. And we're going to see some interesting stuff happening. But that's beside the point. Watch the Middle East if you want to know what time we are on God's timetable. God wants us to see that these things are going to happen. And as we get closer to the end, elects escalate. The main thing is, do we know God? Are we secure? Hallelujah. How are we when it comes to God? I was listening to this preacher, and he said, if you want to look at your body, if you want to see how your body is, look in the mirror. If you want to know how your soul is, just check out your feelings. That's how your soul is. If you want to know how your spirit is, check out the Word of God. And here's what he said, like I always say, pure, holy, separated. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. God's chosen one, a new creation in Christ. That's your spirit man. And if your soul will only get a small part of your spirit, then you're going to see incredible things happen in your life. the power of the Holy Ghost will manifest, because your spirit is like God himself, because it became one with God. We are one with Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That's something to be joyful about. Hallelujah. Today I got an interesting message, and I want you to pay close attention, because it starts out with a scripture which I'll give before we get into this message. Philippians 1 and verse 15. They put it up there. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposed to add to my affliction, to my bones, but the other of love, knowing I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, either way, whether in pretense or in truth or in making money, don't matter. Being making a name for yourself, as long as you preach the gospel, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Hallelujah. That's quite a statement for the Apostle Paul to make. And we have to understand, before the end comes, the gospel will be preached in all the world. Everybody will know about Jesus. So today, before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We ask you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to the truth of this message so that we can relax and rejoice in what we got. I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listener that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And I want you may sit down. I want God to bless those who are listening and watching by the internet. There's quite a few that are tuning in already on YouTube and on our website. There's people listening from Africa. It is quite interesting that they want to hear the truth. Hallelujah. God is good. But the Bible teaches us our main commission is to preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that is what Christ wants. He doesn't want us to form a holy huddle. Like one guy said, Christians are like manure. When they're on the pile, they stink. And when they're spread out, they do a lot of good. Hallelujah. That's a strange analogy, but that's the way it seems to be. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 3, it tells us, hearken, behold, there went a sower out to seed, a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowl of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So here is what our job is to sow the seed. This is what it's all about, to sow the seed, regardless who listens. The power of the gospel is incredible, and it tells us we need to go out and sow that seed. And then it says that, and we see what happens when the seed is sown. There's some that falls by the wayside. The devil comes immediately. For those of people who are nonchalant about the gospel, they don't care. They don't even have a chance. The Satan is there to take away the meaning of the gospel. And it gives us a few different reasons why the gospel cannot take root and bring forth fruit. And here is how each person has to look at himself. If you become born again, that means the seed fell on good ground. It was receptive. And it says in Mark chapter 4 in verse 8, and other fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. The main thing is that it came forth and brought fruit. If you're born again, you're going to bring forth fruit regardless. Because for the simple reason, the root in you has been changed. When you became born again, the root in you has been changed. Before you were born again, you had the root of Satan. For the Bible teaches that we're all dead in trespasses and sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came so far as to say, you are of the devil, your father. And when you look at who he talked to, it was the Pharisees. And if we are honest with ourselves, there's a lot of Pharisee in all of us. So the root has to be changed. And I want to give you a little bit of a warning. If you have planted some fruit from a root that wasn't very kosher before you're born again, that fruit will still want to come up. And it will be pruned by the master pruner. Hallelujah. So I advise you, if you're born again, start getting rid of the root of the fruit that is coming up from the root that was destroyed. Because everything that is not planted by the Father will be destroyed. And sometimes I myself feel some fruit being clipped off. Because I sowed years ago some of the fruit that is now being clipped off and that is now being pruned. And the reason it's doing that, God is doing that, is to make room for the fruit that comes from the good root. Hallelujah. Does that make sense to you? Yes, to me it does. Good preaching, Brother Dave. So pay attention to those things. God will prune the fruit that is not of the root, whether you like it or not. Corrie ten Boom made an interesting statement. She said, don't hold on to anything too hard that is not of God, because God is going to wrench your hands away from it, and it's going to hurt. Now, I want you to pay attention to the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the preacher of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to your word. The Apostle Paul was given the revelation, and now he wants to teach us. Very interesting how he puts it. It was given to me so that I can show it to you. How that by what? By teaching, by studying, he made known unto me the mystery. It's not by teaching, it's not by studying, it's by revelation. Revelation comes from God. We may teach, we may study, but the revelation that brings true salvation comes from God. He's the one that puts it into your spirit. He made known unto me the mystery by what? By revelation. As I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You may read it, you may study it, and you may understand it. But is the revelation there for you? I'm telling you, if I wouldn't have experienced that, I wouldn't know how to explain it. But the revelation that comes from God is what tops studying. It tops all of those things when you study the Word of God. How often have we read the Bible and we think we understand a certain scripture, then all of a sudden this one scripture, or even just one line from a scripture, will jump up at our eyes and we look at it in a total different way. And I've had that experience quite a few times. I'm so excited about it, and I want to go and share it with somebody else. And the guy looks at me, "What are you seeing?" "I don't see nothing." "Why?" "Because the revelation was for me." Hallelujah. "It was God that gave it to me, and it was personal." Hallelujah. "I know him, and he knows me." I want you to look at how the Apostle Paul explains these things. It's very interesting. I studied it and I figured, Paul, you have the incredible wisdom that God gave you. And I want to share this with those who are listening. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. "Unto me, who am least, less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So he's still harping on himself. "It was given me to preach the unsearchable riches. It was given him that he might write them down so that we might study them. It was him that was given the revelation so that he could write it down for us to read and to study." But then something interesting happens in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There were those who were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of that guy and that guy." And then the Apostle Paul makes it clear, "I was given this to teach you. I was given this to show you. It was given me so that I can show you. But this is not where the answer is. For a while one says, I am of Paul. The other, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord God gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives what? Gives the increase. God gives the revelation." Hallelujah. We understand the gospel. There's people who understand it. They see it, but it's not clear to them. "I have watered, I have planted, Apollos have watered, but it's God that gives the increase." Your revelation that you have in your heart, does that come from a personal relationship with God, or does it come from you going to church and listening to the preacher? Or you even reading your Bible and seeing it written down? How did you get the revelation? Do you know that you know with an assured heart that you are a child of God, that you're sealed unto the day of your redemption, that you have been made pure and holy through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has that revelation hit you? If not, you need to have a relationship with the one that will give you the revelation. Don't expect to get it from me, because I am not qualified. I am the waterer. I am the one that plants the seed. It's God that gives the revelation. It's God that gives the increase. It says, "So then neither he that planted anything, neither he that watered it, but it's God that gives the increase." Very interesting. When you study the scripture and you start seeing how deep scripture is, this is why you can preach your head off and you wonder why people don't get it. It is because they don't have a revelation. They may agree with you. They may look at that scripture and say, "Yes, it is written." But there's always a but there. "I don't see it that way. I've had people tell me straight in the face, I know it's written like this, but I don't see it that way. Why don't they see it as it's written? It is because they don't have the revelation. God wants us to see that. He wants us to understand that. It takes a relationship with God, an intimate relation. I know him, he knows me. Never mind you knowing Jesus. The question is, does Jesus know you? Because many will stand at the judgment bar of God and will say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done many wonderful things in your name? And the Lord will look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The good things that they did are what in God's eyes? Iniquity. They are nothing but filthy rags. So get to know this God so that God can give the increase. Hallelujah. And then here in Luke chapter 15, there is an interesting scripture. I want you to pay close attention to it because a lot of people miss it. When you are going to go to most services, pastors and preachers, they will have laws, rules, and regulations mixed in with the message of grace. I want to show you a true message of grace here. What man of you have 100 sheep? That's in Luke chapter 15 in verse 4. What man of you have 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I want you to look at this scripture. It says, there is joy over a sinner that repents. And he has just finished telling us about the sheep that was lost. Everybody is lost until Jesus finds them. And the sheep, he is likened unto a sinner that repented. Now, I want to ask a question. What did the sheep do? What did the sheep do when God found him? Did he say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the horrifying things I've done. Did he have a whole sermon of what I shouldn't have done and what I should have done? And there's guys who are preaching this. This is repentance. You need to fall on your face before God and repent of all your sins. That may come after. I've repented of many sins that I've done that I've done even before I was a Christian. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for being a jerk over here, for being like this over there. That was even before I was a Christian. God brings it to mind. I lay it at the foot of Jesus and say, Lord, I was a jerk. But here, the sheep does nothing. He simply accepts the master, the shepherd, to lift him up on his shoulders and carrying home. When Jesus comes knocking at your door, do you accept him and ask him to come into your heart? That's all it is. You becoming one with God. You accepting the right hand of fellowship. You accepting him to place you on his shoulders, where you now become his and he is yours. This is what the born again experience is all about. It's not about trying to become a goody new shoes. It's not about repenting of all your sins and trying to make yourself better. That'll come later. God will strip you all of that. He's the master cleaner. One guy put it that way. We bring him the fish. The Lord then takes them unto himself and cleans them. Hallelujah. Isn't that an interesting way of putting it? So God wants you to see, when you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Regardless what you did, regardless where you come from, regardless how steeped in religion you are, I will accept you the way you are. You become mine, I become yours. If you read in John chapter 17, the prayer that Jesus preaches, they in me and I in them, and we in you, O Father. We become one with God. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. We have become a purchased possession. He purchased us with his blood, and the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse us from every sin we ever committed and ever will commit in the future. Hallelujah. That's what he says. The sheep, the lamb or the sheep, simply accepted the shepherd to take him, put him on his shoulder, and carry him home. Has that happened to you? Or are you still trying to struggle to somehow better yourself so you'll be more accepted by God? Don't worry about it. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the next swear word you're going to say. He knows the next mistake you're going to make. Don't worry about that. What you need to worry about is to get a relationship with God. Because the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 9, there is a rest for the people of God. And it's not talking about going to heaven. And he tells us to enter into that rest so that you don't fall into unbelief. Those that enter into that rest have ceased from their own works. They have ceased from their struggle. This lamb was struggling to find his way. This sheep was struggling because there could be a wolf out there ready to devour him. But the moment the shepherd came, he simply accepted the shepherd's hand to take him and place him on his shoulders. There he's safe. This is what happened to me so many years ago. I still remember struggling, wondering what's going to happen in the future. You know, God is bringing something to my mind here that I'm going to share with you. Years ago, just after I got married, I remember I was a friend with this guy. I grew up with him, an incredible close friend. We shared cigarettes together. We shared bottles of booze together. We shared everything. We were the best of buddies. And one day, this kid left the very ark that we thought was the ark to get into heaven, the Hutterite system. He left the system, and I stayed there. And one day, he had an accident and got killed. And there I was. Oh, my goodness, what will happen to that guy? He left the ark. He's for sure in hell. And on top of all of that, my German teacher came up to me and said, Dave, next time it may be your turn. And I knew I wasn't ready. I knew I was worse off than the kid lying in the coffin because he was 20 before he died, I think. That's what they told us. So before you're 20, you have a chance of going to heaven. I didn't have an answer then. The only answer I had was I went home and I drank as much booze as I could get into my body. Why? To get rid of that nagging voice. I had absolutely no answer. Nobody could give me an answer. That there was nobody around to give me an answer for the turmoil that was in my soul. What do I do? Well, I got the answer now. I found it about 4 years later. Jesus came to save that which is lost. When I first read that God loves me, regardless who I was, I didn't hesitate for a moment because I felt the flames of hell licking at my feet. I dove into Jesus, lock, stock, and barrel, and I have never let go. And God has opened my eyes to that incredible, precious love that He has for me. And I tell you one thing, nobody's ever going to take it away from me because it was a revelation. It was a revelation. Nobody told me, God showed it to me. I love you, and I'm going to save you, regardless who you were and what you are. And I knew who I was. Nobody had to come and tell me. And God saved me miraculously. So do you want this God today? Those listening through the internet, God loves you. He doesn't care who you are, what you are, as long as you're born a human being. The Bible teaches us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever in the world believes on me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Very interesting. And then it tells us in John chapter 1, those who believe in Jesus, to them give He the power to become the sons of God. If you believe in Jesus, all you have to do is accept Him as your Savior, and He will take you in. You then become His purchased possession. You then are sealed unto the day of redemption. You then are seated in heavenly places. This is the promise of God. Yes, we may make mistakes. My body is out to trip me up wherever I go. My soul, I've trained it over the years to try to live a godly life. But every now and then, the old master pops up and takes me the wrong way. I don't have to worry about it, even though I fight him. God has cleansed me. And let me tell you, that's all I need. If God is for me, who can be against me? Because He's the one that saved me. So let God open your heart to this. You don't have to struggle. Relax in your salvation. Relax in what you got. But just make sure that you have it. Relax in it and praise God for the eternity that we're going to enjoy together. Hallelujah. Amen.
I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. His promises are true. In His strength There is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know. There are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.